Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm the Senior Digital Editor here at ProFootballWeekly.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. This is episode 4 of the PFW Fantasy Football Podcast. I want to again thank our previous guests. We had Mitch Block of Fantasy Labs, who was fantastic last week. We talked a lot about fear and bias, and that's going to play a role slash was a part of the inspiration for today's podcast. We had Pat Fitzmorris in episode 2, talked a lot about free agency and how that affects the outlook of several fantasy players, most notably Lamar Miller in Houston. Go ahead and download those episodes in iTunes if you're interested, and if you really like them, go ahead and leave a review. That would be much appreciated. I'm also excited to tell you we have a sponsor for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. That's really exciting news for us and for you, too, because we've got a special code with our sponsor's offer. I'll be getting to that later in the show. I brought up someone at the end of our last episode with Mitch Block. And it's not the name we're going to talk about most in this podcast today, but it's the name that leads me to the name for today's show, if you follow that. I mentioned to Mitch that I've got a dream list of guests, in part because I think it would be great to have this list of people on because I admire the way they think, and in part because it would, I think, just really be interesting to understand their process, to understand the time spent on fantasy sports. A lot of people on that list make their living doing this. I couldn't imagine doing that, and that just absolutely fascinates me. To make your living at what was 10 to 15 years ago a niche hobby, it's amazing how industry just shifts like that. But the name I mentioned to Mitch Block is in part the inspiration for this solo podcast. That name is Jonathan Bales. If you're into DFS or if you like me, you follow DFS. Bales is a really well-known name in that world. It's not just because he's a successful player, which he is. You'll often find him in a big live final playing for the chance for $1 million or more. He's written several books. I've purchased a few. They're easy reads. They're filled with a plenty of really, really good data. But he's also really well-known for the way he thinks. It's different. It's creative. The term that gets used constantly is anti-fragile. In reality, breaking it down, it's risk analysis, which we can definitely apply in fantasy football. Are you more risk-averse? Are you taking guys who are safe? Are you willing to take on more risk? Are you taking guys who are boom and bust? Where do you land on that scale? He also looks at certain heuristics and from time to time just goes against them if the situation calls for it. One example, never start a quarterback and a running back together in DFS. Well, maybe it's okay if that running back catches the ball a bunch, if he's a three-down back, and that team is projected for 30 points. It's anti-fragile. It increases your variance, but if it's right, if your research and your data all say that this is the right move, then embrace it because it can put you ahead of the field, and the rest of us DFS players don't embrace that fear enough, don't embrace that risk, and there Bales is at the top of the leaderboard. And I'll get back to this in a minute. Because I want to talk about our new sponsor, Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate for gamers, geeks, and fans of pop culture, delivering cool and often exclusive items like collectibles, T-shirts, gadgets, and more. There's a $45 value in every crate, and if you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, that's lootcrate.com/Shaw, and use our promo code SHAW, you'll get $3 off your first crate. So that's pretty cool. But getting back to the topic here, Bales actually isn't the name we're going to be talking about today. He's the name that led to the name. Hopefully in the future we'll be talking to Bales on this podcast. That's at JSolly on Twitter, Jonathan, if you happen to be listening. I bring him up because a couple weeks ago I saw a tweet storm from Bales, just a whole bunch, and you can follow him at Bales Football. He's a good follow. But he was quoting a bunch from the name we will be talking about today, someone who actually got fired. But there's so much in his resignation letter that applies to fantasy football. And that person is former Philadelphia 76ers general manager Sam Hinkie. So a bit of a background on Hinkie. The 76ers brought him in after the 2013 season. Franchise was in a bit of flux. They had traded a fortune for Andrew Bynum, who would never end up playing for the team. And Hinkie essentially became known for tanking. He looked around, saw the 76ers were an average team, and made moves to shed a team of average players in search of high draft picks. Didn't really want to be in NBA hell, which is tough to get out from. We were essentially an average team, but not a threat whatsoever to win a title, and he saw the quickest path as tanking. Made a few good moves, I thought. Michael Carter-Williams was Rookie of the Year. He got 5 second-round picks at one point. Took Joel Embiid, who has really yet to play and might not ever. Signed a D-League guy to a 4-year deal, Robert Covington. If you play DFS Hoops, he's been on your roster at least once. You've probably cursed him out at least once. He made more trades, including Carter-Williams, to get picks. Took Jahlil Okafor recently. And this is what he essentially became known for, making moves to acquire as many high-value assets as possible, you know, telling people to trust the process. And the 76ers have been bad. Make no mistake about it, the Golden State Warriors have won more games this season than the 76ers have in the past three combined. But there was at least a plan in place. Some of the moves didn't work, but you could at least see the pathway. Now, obviously, the 76ers didn't want to put up with the losing anymore, and a couple weeks ago, Sam Hinkie resigned. Did it in a rather epic 13-page letter. You may have seen excerpts of it across sites, but Bales was tweeting about it and started it with, you know, quote, "This is basically a guide to winning DFS." And that's sort of the inspiration for today's podcast. And as I read through Sam Hinkie's letter, I unsurprisingly agreed with that take from Bales. I extended it out to fantasy football as a whole and your draft. That's what I do. And as we're taping this, it's April 19th, so your draft is probably 4 months away at this point. But how you approach this year in a changing NFL, where I think you might be thinking about changing strategies to adapt to that, I think it's a good exercise. I think it's kind of fun to break down this Sam Hinkie resignation letter, because there are some real truths in here when it comes to fantasy football. So we'll start with an easy one. I'm quoting directly from the resignation letter. Quote, "A competitive league like the NBA necessitates a zig while others or our competitors comfortably zag. We often chose not to defend ourselves against much of the criticism, largely in an effort to stay true to the ideal of having the longest view in the room." Unquote. So zig when others zag. That's not a new concept. But like I said, that's where we're just starting. It's the third paragraph of this resignation letter. I was in a fantasy mock draft last week, and I know it's before even the actual NFL draft, so some of the later round stuff doesn't even apply yet. But I had the 12th pick in a 12-team league. I didn't take a running back until round 7. And I think you might see some of that strategy this year, and I think it might benefit you to jump on it. Because think about who scored the most fantasy points at running back last year, just last year. You know, guys like Devonta Freeman, he was a late-round guy. He was likely available on your waiver wire at some point last year before he took off. Doug Martin was a late-round pick. Lamar Miller, again, another later-round guy, mid-to-late-round guy. David Johnson was a rookie who was most likely on your waiver wire. Chris Ivory certainly was one of the top guys off the board. Those guys were all top 10 fantasy running backs last season. And yet we stick with these heuristics of you have to get your running backs early. Well, no, you don't. You can find guys later. You can find guys on your waiver wire. Thomas Rawls is another guy who was on your waiver wire, took advantage of an injury situation. That's just how this position is now in the league. So you take the long view, zig and grab a couple of top-flight wide receivers. Get Gronk. Get a top-flight QB early on. And wait on running backs. I think that's not bad advice based off of this letter. The same applies in DFS. We heard Mitch Block talk about it last week. If everybody's on a guy, we start questioning ourselves and we start questioning our own research if we're not. Zig when others zag and get ahead of the field. That's just a good piece of advice. The next quote, Hinkie is talking about thinking about thinking. What goes into the decision-making process in a professional sports organization? What are the factors that govern the interests involved? And what are the subconscious influences where we're automatically doing these things? So, quote, "To do this requires you divorce process from outcome. You can be right for the wrong reasons," end quote. And he goes on to describe Embiid and Joel Embiid and how there's plenty of signal that Embiid is special, and he may turn out to be a good NBA player. We don't know the answer to that, but you sort of understand the decision-making process. So divorcing process from outcome. Just because a decision went well for you, if it was made for the wrong reasons, it's not going to portend a long-term success. This is more DFS-related because it's a draft every week. It's roster construction based on hundreds of variables that are out there. But you should examine your roster, win or lose. And you can do that in season-long, too. You know, what led you to make that decision? Why did you pick Odell Beckham over Julio Jones that week? Was it based on price? Was it based on matchup? You know, pay attention to your results, but more importantly, fully understand how you got there. Hinky brings up Bill Belichick's famous fourth down decision against the Colts in 2009. Went for it on fourth and two in his own territory. I think we remember that game. If the Patriots convert that, the game is essentially over. Now they don't, and they didn't, and they ended up losing. But the chances of them converting it made that decision worth the risk. It was a good decision that didn't work. I'd rather be on the side of that than a bad decision that does work, because over the long haul, I'm going to win more than you with good decisions. If I understand my process and why I got to a place, I think I'm going to win more over the long haul. Second to last quote I will share here today. Quote, while contrarian views are absolutely necessary to truly deliver, conventional wisdom is still wise. It is generally accepted as the conventional view because it is considered the best we have. Get back on defense, share the ball, box out, run the lanes, contest a shot. These things are real and have been measured, precisely or not, by thousands of men over decades of trial and error. Unquote. Wanted to briefly point this out because I don't want this to seem like I'm encouraging you to go overboard, to go crazy. You know, don't take a defense in the third round of your draft. Don't be that guy or girl. Don't roster a backup running back in DFS if the starter's healthy. A running back with six touches a game isn't going to win you anything. Basically, don't be a donkey. You can be contrarian without being an idiot. And the last quote that I want to share with you, and I really encourage you to seek out this letter because it really does apply to fantasy sports, I think, and I hope I've proven that today in this shorty solo podcast. Quote, if you want to have real success, you have to very often be willing to do something different from the herd, unquote. And about a page later, quote, to develop truly contrarian views will require a never-ending thirst for better, more diverse inputs. What player do you think is most undervalued? Get him on your team. Take it on and top the opposite, unquote. It's an extension of the first quote on zigging when others zag, but I want to bring up a specific example, and it's Jay Cutler. And this is from a Fantasy Lab story from last week's guest, Mitch Block. The headline is, quote, Jay Cutler doesn't care how good your defense is, unquote, which is another great headline, working Jay Cutler and not caring in there. As a digital editor, I love good SEO, so that tickled me a little bit. But Jay Cutler, week 10, on the road at St. Louis. Rams have a great defense, right? Cutler is $100 above the minimum price on DraftKings that week. And because of there's this perception of Jay Cutler, unfair or not, it's out there. He's not someone you get excited about putting on your DFS roster. If you're going to go enter a tournament for $1 million or it's a single entry tournament or you're just playing somebody head to head, you put Jay Cutler on your roster, you know, you're not popping champagne. You're not like, wow, I got Jay Cutler. That's awesome. And Mitch writes that Cutler was on 0.4% of lineups that week, which, again, nobody's excited to roster Jay Cutler. Even if you're in your season-long league, you take Jay Cutler, the way you announce that is, well, I guess I'll take Jay Cutler. You know, but, so what does Jay do in this game? He rolls out 24.7 points for the game, which is good enough for a top seven performance among fantasy QBs that week. And for what you spent on him, being only $100 on the minimum, that's likely putting you in position not only to cash, but potentially win a tournament. You're saving so much money on quarterback, getting a top seven performance, and you're in a good position. And Mitch continues with a whole statistical breakdown about how Jay Cutler has actually been pretty darn good against top flight defenses, which is the absolute opposite of his perception. When we see Jay Cutler going up against a top-flight defense, we think, man, he's just going to gunsling it. He's going to throw two or three interceptions. But the numbers don't really lie. Think about when he went to San Francisco, week two of the 2014 season. Jim Harbaugh was still there. 49ers hadn't imploded. Most of their defense hadn't retired yet. Put up 25 points on DK that week. And again, wasn't going to be high-priced. He's going to be on the road against an elite defense. And the numbers are there that says that Jay Cutler is actually pretty good in that situation. I'll quote Mitch here. Quote, when the public refuses to acknowledge such situations, we need to exploit them, unquote. You're going to hear this a lot from me on this podcast going forward. But our own biases work against us in ways we don't consider enough in fantasy football. How often do you hear, you know, that guy stinks as a justification for not picking somebody up or not rostering him in DFS? We don't believe in the talent. We just say, ah, man, I saw that guy play once, or I saw a YouTube highlight of him, and man, or, you know, this analyst that I don't like likes him, so by definition, I can't like him. But your research and your numbers say otherwise. We write it off. It's a fluke. I did the same with Devonta Freeman last year. You heard about it on last week's podcast that I was saying that. I didn't believe in the talent. I was wrong. You have to trust your research and exploit narratives and perceptions that really just aren't true. And I think the Jake Heltner one is a perfect example. I think Mitch Block has another article about how Tom Brady, you know, in seemingly perfect spots at home against weak defenses, you know, he turns in an okay week. He's not this layup for top fantasy quarterback of the week. So when I think about this letter of resignation, the guy behind it, Sam Hinkie, it's a little uncomfortable. Here I am, you know, on this podcast touting the words of someone who, if you read between the lines of his resignation, quit before he got fired. There's a certain aspect of self-preservation in this list. There are only 30 GM jobs in the NBA, and presumably Sam Hinkie wants to do this again, so he has to defend himself. But I think I can put aside the words on the page and take them for what they are. And that's a defined way of thinking. It's the approach that matters. You know, like we said earlier, the right decision for the right reason and understanding your process. I think that's the lesson here. And one I hope you'll file away before your fantasy football draft and if you decide to get involved in DFS. So that'll do it for our show. Thank you to our producer Dan Mott and our sponsor Loot Crate. We will be back with a new show next week.